Good to give praise to the Lord and hear from Him, and that's what we're going to do right now. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you turn to Matthew chapter 5. Get my technology alive again. It went to sleep on me. Matthew chapter 5. Been doing some teaching out at Laguna Heights. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but every Sunday night, Pastor Bill and myself, mostly Pastor Bill, teaches out our Laguna Heights. Irma translates for us, and we have Bible studies and actually have a full worship service out there. And so when Bill's here teaching you on Sunday nights, I'm out there. And I've been looking at Matthew 5 and looking at some things in there. And as Pastor Bill was gone, I felt like the Lord was leading me in this direction to share with you from some things from chapter 5. So I hope you have your Bible. Hope you're there. We're going to spend a lot of time in chapter 5 on a few specific verses. Just to summarize a little bit of what's in chapter 5 before we get to what we're going to look at today, there's the Beatitudes that talk about happy is the person who does these things. And then Jesus talks about salt and light. Then he talks about the fulfilling of the Lord, the law, excuse me. And so there's some more. We're going to get to some things today. But before we do, I want us to look at some well-known sayings. Well-known sayings. So you're going to help me out with these well-known sayings. I'm going to put the first part of the saying up there, and then I hope that you're going to help me by out loud participating with the rest of the well-known saying. But after we get the right part of the well-known saying, we're going to discover what some first graders thought the second half should be. Okay? So sometimes we know a saying and someone else doesn't quite know that saying. So we'll start here. So if you lie down with the dogs, you will. Okay, and the answer one of them gave was, you will stink in the morning. All right, so the next one, the pen is mightier than the? No, it's mightier than the pig. I'll give you a second because it may take a second. The pen, pig pen, okay, you got it. A penny saved is not much. I was a first grader. Hey, I think that now, but still. Don't put off till tomorrow, what? No, it's more like pajamas. You put on to go to bed. Okay. Or, laugh with the world and laugh, and the whole world laughs with you. Cry, and you have to blow your nose. Makes good sense to me. There is none so blind as, not many people knew that one. Those who cannot see, but the person put Stevie Wonder. Got a point. A bird in the hand is going to poop on you. My apologies if that offends you, sir. And then lastly, better late than pregnant. So we have some popular sayings here, and Jesus addresses in Matthew chapter 5, he addresses some popular sayings, and they're not really necessarily bad sayings. So let's look at Matthew 5, verse 21. If you have your Bibles, you can scan down to there. And Jesus says this, you have heard, popular saying, that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. Have you heard that one? That, do not murder. All right. And so a lot of us, we can probably today, probably all of us, I hope, can pat ourselves on the back and say, today, I didn't murder anybody. I hope that's the case. I'm just going to kind of a raw assumption. But on the internet, I find that people pat themselves on the back for this a lot. I see things like this. You didn't kill anyone today. Here's your gold star. Or if you go to Walmart, maybe you get like double bonus points because I didn't kill anybody. I went to Walmart. And then people are so ungrateful. No one thanks me for not having the patience to kill them. Did you hear talk like this sometimes? And then here's one. Can I talk to Jesus? Because these folks are going to make me break at least 4 of the 10 commandments. Now, there's a problem, lots of problems with that, but we understand the emotion of that, right? And then maybe it's just more like this, you know, praise the Lord. I kept my mouth shut and I didn't kill that person. So Jesus said, he said, you've heard that you're not supposed to kill. But then he goes on to enlighten us a little bit further. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Now, what happens is in the Old Testament, that little part's not added. That you've heard this, that anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Well, that kind of makes sense. But what he's talking about here is something very specific. He's talking about they added this idea of a court trial to the murder. There's a whole process, and that's really not in the Old Testament. It just says, "Thou shalt not murder." And so Jesus is very careful in the New Testament to rail on people who do two things. They add to the law. He doesn't like that. The Sadducees and Pharisees, they made up a whole bunch of extra laws that were extrapolated from the Scriptures, and they made them very specific. You can't do this. You can't walk more than this many miles. You can't take so many steps. And they made all these extra rules. And Jesus just rails on them. But he also rails on the idea of relaxing what the law really means. And so here it says that anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. And that's not a bad thing, right? So here's how judgment worked back in the day. Any town in Palestine that had more than 120 people, 120 or more, they had a Sanhedrin court, and it was a court of 23 men. And those men would judge crimes like murder and decide whether you were guilty or whether it was an accident or whatever. They would make the judgment. And so that's what he's saying here, is that anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. They're gonna come under this judgment of the law, under this process. And so Jesus is teaching us today, it's kind of like the Goldilocks principle. You know, the Goldilocks comes in, it's a Goldilocks and the three bears, right? I get my stories right? Bears and Goldilocks go together. All right, so Goldilocks comes in, and there's one bed that's too soft and one bed that's too hard, and there's one bed that's just right. And Jesus kind of does that with the Scriptures in these passages here, and he says, all right, there's a way to be too soft about what this is saying. There's a way to add extra stuff that's too hard, and there's a way that is just right. And Jesus came, he says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus came to fulfill the law. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So Jesus is telling us here what we know in the Scriptures. I'm not coming to wipe that away or make that easier. I'm here to fulfill that. And I think a lot of times in our day and age, that's what happens is we have these relaxed laws. We just have this laissez-faire attitude toward the Scriptures, because we just kind of, people have just kind of blew them off for so long. Well, the Scriptures certainly don't teach us to do that. And Jesus himself, as we'll find here, doesn't teach us to do that. So he goes on to say, again, as we review that, but I tell you, well, let me back it up one here. I think I jumped ahead too much. Okay. No, I'm just missing a slide. It'll be all right. Give me a second. There it is. So in the next verse, verse 22, he says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. So you've heard that it's said that if you kill somebody, you're going to have to stand in judgment. And Jesus says it's even worse than that. Or it's even better than that, depending on how you look at it. But he says, no, if you're even angry with your brother, then you're under the same judgment, which means, now think about this in your town. I got angry, so now I got to go before the court of 23 people and stand and give answer because I got angry? Well, Jesus is working backwards from the action, which we have over here, to the inner intent. And this is supported in 1 John 3:15. It says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. I think I jumped ahead a little bit there. So he has, when anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. So hate and murder come together. So let's think about this for a minute. Jesus just spoke on the Beatitudes. He says, happy are the people who do these things. Happy are the people who do these things. And then in the second part, he goes on and he speaks about, I forgot what he spoke about. Here it is. You're supposed to be salt and light. So he's talking, got this great discourse going on, and he gets to this part where he says, if you're angry, then you're not like what I just talked about. Because peace and happiness are what should characterize the Christian walk. But if you're angry, you're not like I just taught. And so we're supposed to be salt and light. There was a woman who came to Billy Sunday who had an anger problem, and she said this. She said, you know, it's not a big deal. I just get angry, I blow up, and then it's over. And then Billy Sunday said something, said this to her. He said, so does a shotgun. And look at the damage it leaves behind. You just blow up, and then you think everything's cool, but it's not. Our anger keeps us from being salt and light. Speaking of shotguns, I'm going to run some shotgun verses by you that are on anger. So you won't be able to keep up, but just in your mind, hopefully you can. Proverbs 29, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Proverbs 14, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. Ecclesiastes 7, 9, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of the fool. Proverbs 15:8, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 14, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Psalm 37, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. And James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, that every person should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so what we have is that the well-known saying was, thou shalt not kill or you're going to get the judgment. Jesus comes and takes a step further. He says, not only that, you should not be angry or you should be judged in the same way. Well, he takes it even just a bit further in the next part of the verse. He says, and anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. So it's the same judgment. So now, if you start calling people names, it's the same judgment as murder. So he's taking it a step further. He's taking it back to the heart. And back to the memes about stupid people, or about killing people, a lot of them include just that. They include the whole idea of being stupid. First day at a new job, didn't kill anyone for being stupid. You know, I see those on Facebook all the time, and it kind of rakes at my heart, and yet part of me kind of agrees with that. There are just a lot of crazy people out there that just have no common sense. And yet, my attitude with them says more about me than it does about them. And I have zero tolerance for stupid. And then, you know, if Kermit the Frog says it, it's probably right. The hardest part of my job is being nice to stupid people. And so what happens is as we analyze what we've always heard and we bring it back and we want to try to give our gold star to ourselves to say, hey, I didn't kill anybody today. The gold star doesn't seem quite so good, does it? Jesus is explaining the scriptures back to the heart of the matter. Now, understand this, that as we look at these things, he says they deserving of the judgment. Jesus was not proposing that let's set up a system where everybody who gets mad has to go before the 23 people. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is that that's how God views not only murder, but our anger, and then also our name-calling. Name-calling, by the way, doesn't have to be just with your mouth. Name-calling is an attitude. And it's an arrogant attitude. It's like, I'm better than that person. I'm smarter than that person. And, you know, lo and behold, you might be. But for you to say those things in your own mind, in your own heart, puffs yourself up. And if you examine the scriptures, there's no room for you puffing yourself up. There's no room for us patting ourselves on the back how good we are or how much better we are than someone else. So he goes from, thou shalt not kill. You're not supposed to be angry. You're not supposed to call people stupid. But he's not done yet. Aren't you glad? That's like if you got beat up a little bit, wait a minute, there's more coming. So then he goes on to say, but if anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. So we went to a little bit of name calling to, and if we look into Greek a little bit further and do a little more research on that, then this is basically when someone is coming down and saying, that person's an enemy of God. They must not be saved. We start really going to that spiritual judgment. And we start saying, they're this, they're that, they think that, they feel this, they're not. And it's like, that's not our place to judge. And he says that this word for judgment here this is even a strict, more strict judgment. It's where you had to pick up and travel and go to Jerusalem to get judged by a double Sanhedrin. So instead of the 23 guys, there's 46 or something like that. So he's making a case in his times to say, look, you're saying thou shalt not kill. Everybody's patting themselves on the back. Oh, we're real good. And he say, man, you shouldn't get angry. Shouldn't call names, and you got to be careful that you don't judge somebody else's spirituality because of your arrogance. So we review and we review through that, and then Jesus goes on to apply these principles. And you're saying, Greg, why are you just talking about murder and anger? Well, anger applies to all of us because I see it everywhere. I see it in myself. I'm not angry, I'm irritated, which is a form of anger. I'm not angry, I'm disappointed, which is a form of anger that I didn't get what I want. It's a little anger, but we let it build, and anger is everywhere. And in my counseling training, I was taught, look for the anger everywhere, because it's there. When you're complaining, what are you doing? You're a little bit angry. You call it whatever you want, but that anger roots up when we don't get what we want. It is everywhere. But Jesus goes on to apply these principles. If you read Matthew 5 later on today, what's following here, he says, this is, you've heard it said about murder, and he gives this explanation. Then he goes on in verse 27, he says, you've heard it said about adultery, but he brings it back to the heart. You've heard it said about divorce, and he brings it back. You've heard it said about oaths, swearing, he brings it back. Harsh judge, justice, or revenge. And so Jesus is concerned about the heart issues as well as our behavior, what comes out of our mouth and the things that we do. So Jesus does this little discord, and then he gets to this where he says, here's what you do. Here's what you do. And let's look at what the answer here is that Jesus says, therefore. So you've heard that it was said, love your enemy and hate your... wait a minute. That's the wrong one. Yeah. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the wrong verse anyway. Man, I know, but that's not the one I wanted. I wanted to look. I did this because I know I mess up sometimes, so I actually have the real Bible here. I just read it. The real Bible. Yeah. The next one was what I wanted. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. And verse 25, we won't read it all, but says, settle matters quickly with your adversary. So he says, you got to do something about it. It's not enough to just say, all right, I'm not going to kill, and now I've got angry, and now I got to go into fixing it as fast as I can. And then it takes us to Matthew 5:43, which is later in the same chapter. Sorry, I jumped the gun here on you. But he's taking it back even a step further in the heart later in the chapter. You've heard that it was said, love your enemy, love your neighbor, I keep saying that wrong, and hate your enemy. But I tell you, you've heard it, but I'm telling you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So he takes it back. The journey is from all the way from murder, I didn't murder anybody, to I didn't spiritually call them unsaved or children of the devil. And he takes it back a little further and says, I didn't call them stupid. All right, I'm making progress, right? To I didn't get angry, to now I've got to love that person who does mean things to me. You see the progression, how it goes through the Scripture? He takes it back to the very heart of the matter. And he goes on in verse 46 to say, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And so we make this progression back to the matters of the heart, and we're supposed to be active in this process. If we're going to be salt and life, and we're going to be gonna be what God wants us to be and shine, and we're going to have to follow the law, but we have to trace it back and make sure that our hearts are right with Him. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can come and worship God? Who can be in God's presence? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. God wants us to have clean hands for sure, not be killing people. But He wants to take it all the way back and make sure our hearts are pure and full of who He is. Stan Mikita He played 22 years in the National Hockey League. He was inducted into Hall of Fame in 1983. And in 2017, he was named as one of the 100 greatest players in the National Hockey League history. Before he was so great, he had a little problem with anger. And he was in many fights and spent a lot of time in the penalty box. And then his daughter said something to him one day that changed his course. And he went on after that saying to be the only player in history to ever win all three major awards in hockey. And one was the, I got to make sure I get it right here, the Hart Award, which was the most valuable player for that year, the leading scorer, which was the Art Ross Cup, and then the Lady Bing, which was the sportsmanship. So he went from this angry, what'd they call him, the bad boy of hockey, to the sportsmanship of the year. And what changed that? His eight-year-old daughter was watching him on television, and when he came home from playing one time, she said to this to her dad, she said, "Dad, how can you score goals when you're always in the penalty box? How can you score goals when you're always in the penalty box?" Jesus has called us to be light. How are you going to score if you don't deal with your anger? How are you going to shine if what people see in your life is this anger? Let's take a minute and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, it hurts as we analyze the things you say as we take them to heart. God, we want to be people of clean hands. We sure do. And God, we want to be people of a pure heart. You've put that desire in all believers, Lord, to want to follow your word, to hear your voice clearly. So, Father, I pray today that you'll speak to each heart as only you can, starting with mine. God, help us to deal with our anger, our thoughts, the way we think about other people. Help us to shine and be the light you want us to be. We pray that you'll be with us, especially during these moments of invitation. I pray it in Jesus' name.